Attention, attention, postal employees, I need your attention, please. We are interrupting our regularly scheduled podcast on the TSP Millionaire eBook to bring breaking news. The President of the United States has signed H.R. 3076 Postal Reform Bill into law. For the next 3 weeks, our podcast will cover the details of this critical postal reform. Let your friends know, make the phone call to say, this is a podcast you must listen to for the next 3 weeks, especially. It's all about postal reform. Let your friends in the Postal Service know. And now, on to our regularly scheduled podcast.
You are listening to the Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators Podcast with President and Founder Elizabeth Inman and co-host Kim Spence Mullen. This podcast provides a variety of topics that affect you as a federal employee. Our mission at Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators is to get to know you and understand your needs, wants, and long-term goals. Now, let's join Elizabeth and Kim.
Welcome to podcast number 17. We are moving right along through fantastic information as we've come through these podcasts. Again, I always want to remind you that you need to let your friends know. If you happen to be a federal employee yourself or a postal employee, please contact another friend and let them know that these podcasts come on every week. We upload a new one. And so we are here for you. That's part of the entire idea. My name is Kim Spence Mullen, and Elizabeth Inman and I are with you every single time. Now, Elizabeth is the founder and president of Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators, and they are based in Oklahoma. But wherever you hear this podcast, if you are a federal or postal employee, this information applies to you. And then our special guest continuing today, special guest co-host, is Spencer Mullen. And Elizabeth, I love how you introduced him as a the way of thinking that is, you know, kind of a thought leader idea, coming from the generation, Gen Z generation, that has different perspectives. And we, when we're in discussion, you and I have always enjoyed being able to talk about things in a different way.
That's for sure. And you know, Kim, he's around the age that I was when I started working at the Postal Service.
Wow.
And to think about, you know, my thought process back then versus where it is now is exactly why I wanted him to come on. He, you know, highly intelligent, but he thinks of he's a critical thinker. He's a critical thinker. And I think he brings a level of thinking to this whole process of talking about H.R. 3076, the Postal Service reform, in a different way. And he may not say a whole lot, but when he interjects, it's always very thought-provoking. And I appreciate you coming on with us today, Spencer.
Well, of course. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to dive in. We kind of gave a little bit of groundwork last time, but we really want to get to the meat of what it is our friends need to know today. So this, again, it's about H.R. 3076, postal reform bill that has passed the Senate and the House, but it's sitting on the president's desk, right, Elizabeth?
Yes, and I'm still a little perplexed by that. Again, if you read everything in the media and if you believe everything you read in the media, did I really just say that? then, I mean, seriously, I look at everything from the perspective that I worked at the Postal Service. I'm retired from the Postal Service. I draw a pension from the Federal Employees Retirement System. And I'm sitting here thinking everything I read was how critical this bill is. And it is. I don't doubt that. And they rushed it through the Senate, passed it, the House passed it, and then everything said that immediately it would be signed off on by the president. Now, I want to be fair, because there is a war going on. And I do know that right after this bill passed, that our president, the president of the United States, made some overseas trips that was warranted because of the war that's going on. And my heart goes out to them. And certainly my prayers are with the Ukrainians. My prayers are with the Russians. My prayers are with our president and our leaders that's mm-hmm. having to navigate these waters today that's happening with so many lives in jeopardy and mm-hmm. so many lives lost. So when you put it in that perspective, I definitely believe he made the right choice of where he needed to be. But regardless, my point is what's being presented and how it gets presented. Sometimes me as a postal retiree, it's easy for me to go back in time and think about those days when I was working, and I worked long hours. Oftentimes I loved my job. I loved every minute of my job, but I didn't have much time to just be digging around on the internet all the time to dig up all this information about what was going on with our benefits or what was going on. You know, what are the lawmakers voting on today? And I think about it in the terms of today's postal employees. Everybody is shorthanded. You know, Kim, I've got clients that I help. I've got postal employees from all over the United States that I help. And it doesn't matter if they're in San Diego or if they're in Chicago or if they're in Virginia or in Texas or in Oklahoma, they're shorthanded. They are dealing with situations that I never had to deal with in my career. And I just think about here they are every single day. I mean, look out your window.
Yeah.
I'll never forget during the anthrax attacks back after 9/11, when anthrax was entered into the mail stream, that Paul Harvey was the one that said that America gauges the status of our country by looking out the window and seeing if the mail carrier is coming down the road or not. And, you know, during COVID, we've had 2 years of COVID. Those mail carriers never stopped their rounds. The clerks behind the scenes never stopped processing the mail. The mail continued to move. Were there issues and were there struggles? You better believe it. I mean, I can remember the thoughts that an airborne substance called anthrax had been entered into the mail stream and you wouldn't even know it. It was tasteless. There was no smell to it. You wouldn't have even known you'd been infected. And yet the mail went on. I mean, the mission that these people carry with them every single day is real. And then to have politicians voting on bills that's going to impact them today and that's going to impact them for the rest of their lives. My heart is I want to understand. I want to understand to a place that I can explain it for that person that's working 60 hours a week that doesn't have the time to dig in and do all the research that's necessary for them to fully understand and comprehend what's going on. And these are big time things that's happening. Getting rid of the pre-funding mandate is huge for the Postal Service. There's no way anybody can downplay that. And I'm quite sure that has a whole big bunch of reasons why all the unions, all the management associations supported this bill. So I very much want to make sure I'm explaining this in a way and sharing my opinions, my concerns, sharing information, you know, from the various news outlets that I'm hearing things from, in a way that may not be the answers for the people listening, but maybe the things that causes your thoughts to go to a place that you know you've got to have answers.
Yes.
So that's what I want to do. With everything in me, I hope that I'm being of help and I'm being of service, and I'm provoking each of you to do the research that's necessary to contact the people that are there to help you to get the answers you're going to need when it comes to how your benefits are going to be impacted, how your retirement is going to be impacted.
Elizabeth, one of the things that Spencer has done is to do a little bit of research to just see the numbers on how this bill actually translates as far as our Senate and our Congress. So you were talking about having him share some of that.
Yes, yes.
So we looked at the bill that actually, for the large scale reform that it is, which most of the time in a situation where you have a gloomy, loomy looking, you know, situation as the post office, some people might be in, as Elizabeth talked about, you have unity in those times. And we saw that definitely in the vote in the House on February 8th, 342-92. And in the Senate vote, 79-19, that was on March 8th. So we saw a lot of a broad spectrum of support for this bill. And I think it gives a resemblance of the urgency behind it. Also coming out of a time too where we had an election, the post office was taking on heavy loads of mail-in ballots in a time that never has been done before. And the stress that that imposed, I think, also could be some of the reason that a limelight was brought to the urgency for reform.
It definitely had an impact on the limelight and highlighting what was going on inside the Postal Service and what wasn't going on for the Postal Service, that's for sure. I can remember even in my own career, the level of emphasis that was placed on those ballots. I mean, you know, it's the United States Postal Service. Come rain, sleet, or snow, mm-hmm. we delivered the nation's mail. And when those ballots are placed inside that mail stream, or even the political mailing, the campaign mailings, mm-hmm. the emphasis that's placed on the importance of that, it's like upholding the very essence of what the United States stands for.
Yeah.
Was something we took so seriously, and then to be thrown into one of the most controversial elections ever and have the level of mail-in ballots, like you talked about, be to the level it was at a time when they were shorthanded, at a time when they were coming off a decade of deficits. You bet. All of that leads us to where we are today talking about postal reform. You know, they're calling it a landmark reform, and I believe it is a landmark reform. And, you know, it did away with that mandate the Postal Service has to pre-fund those retiree health benefit costs, and it requires the postal workers to enroll in Medicare A and B when they turn 65. And, you know, there's a lot of opinion out there that says that this provision could also possibly end up affecting every federal employee. And I would go so far as to say, I don't see how it cannot affect every Medicare participant in the future. Mm-hmm. I guess none of us have a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's yet to be seen. But I think it's things that everybody needs to be thinking about.
Well, and it's hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, really, about a million people just alone in the Postal Service. And so then when you add federal employee numbers to that, that are entering the stream of the Medicare and the systems that we've always kind of taken for granted, really, that are just going to be there. You know, we've heard a lot of talk about even changes in that area. So this really could have an effect on all of that.
You know, my goodness. I mean, I knew how blessed I was to have the Federal Employee Health Benefit Plan. Mm-hmm. One thing throughout my whole career I never had to worry about was my health care. Mm-hmm. I had such good health insurance. You know, and right now all current federal retirees, including the current postal retirees, they get to choose whether or not they want to enroll in Medicare Part B. And then plans in the Federal Employee Health Benefit Program that covers retirees, they can decide whether they enroll in the Medicare or they just choose to maintain coverage only under Federal Employee Health Benefits only. And that's getting ready to change. And we're going to talk about those changes. But this is a big, big, big reform that could have widespread implications, that's for sure. But the decision of whether or not to enroll in Medicare, especially that Part B, is one of the most taxing, vexing decisions that federal employees and postal employees face today, let alone what's getting ready to happen with the reform. And it's because adding Part B comes with a standard premium that went up to $170 for 2022. So there's a cost to Medicare Part B. Medicare A being hospitalization, that has been a deduction from your pay stub since you started working. That covers hospitalization under Medicare. Medicare Part B is the medical piece of it. And as I said, the premium in 2022 for that is $170. So, you know, you're paying your federal employee health benefit plan. Now it's going to be a mandate that you pay for the Medicare Part B. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself is a change. And I'm, you know, there's going to be a Postal Service health benefit plan. That's what this postal reform does. So we'll talk about that and what that, how that changes things. But many of the federal employee health benefit plans right now currently have some little perks to it. Like they waive plan deductibles. They'll waive co-payments and co-insurance when the services are covered by Medicare as the primary payer. And then some also offer some partial rebates to offset that Part B premium. You know, my question is how are those things impacted with postal reform? Mm. And you know, Kim, I started this thing off saying, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. This is the first full bill from Congress that I've actually sat down and read for myself from page one to the end. But nowhere in anything I've seen, in anything I've read, has it answered those kind of questions for us. Mm-hmm. That's where the rubber meets the road. What's it going to cost? What's it going to cost me in the future? What about these other little perks that we've always had? Mm-hmm. How does it impact that? Those are the things we're waiting to see yet. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, not only that, but the federal employee health plan that we have today, they actually cater to retirees with a Medicare as primary coverage, and they generally have lower premiums than those that don't offer such incentives. How's that going to impact that? Mm-hmm. I guess we will wait and see.
Well, and what is it for listeners today who are close to retirement, who are thinking about weighing all of these things? What is it that's like a next step for them? Where do they need to turn now?
Well, they need to stay tuned in. This mm-hmm. podcast, I hope, will be a great source of information for them. Mm-hmm. There's going to be all kinds of information coming from different articles, some of the major publishers, you know, the Government Executive, the Federal News Digest, the major organizations like NARF, National Active Retired Federal Employees, the unions, APWU and ALC, NRLCA and the mail handler unions. They'll do a great job getting information out to their people. So we have a lot of avenues to get the information, but quite frankly, right now we're waiting. There's a big step that's got to come from the Postal Service, and that's when they implement what they're calling the Health Benefit Education Program. So that's going to actually be the education program that will roll out to teach the postal employees what they need to know about this new postal reform. But I want to dig in a little deeper, Kim. I've really spent two podcasts now laying the groundwork for postal reform, how we got to this place. Let's dig in a little bit next time, Kim, and let's talk about the specifics of the actual postal reform bill itself.
Yes. So podcast number 18, just for your reference point, will be the one that you listen to get like the specific details. Again, you know, this is a huge measure, a huge reform bill. And so it takes a little bit of time. It didn't happen overnight. It takes a little bit of time to kind of lay out the information as well. So, but hang in there with us, because we are definitely, our whole point with this podcast is to educate you, to bring you information like this so that you can keep up. We know that your time is valuable. We appreciate when you spend the time with us on the podcast, by the way. We understand what it's like to be driving along in your car and to have 20 minutes or so. And when you have that free 20 minutes to tune in and listen to the Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators podcast is really a treasure for us. So we value your time. Thank you for spending it with us. And please spread the word to your friends, your other federal employee or postal friends. Let them know that we're here for all of you that are in this line of work. We love to hear from you as well, by the way. I'm going to give you a toll-free number. If you would like to contact Elizabeth Inman and the Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators for more information, you can contact it toll-free, 833-693-3388. 833-693-3388. And then also go to the website at febcnow.com. febcnow.com. And, you know, Elizabeth, of course, being heard on the podcast here, she's heard on Facebook and YouTube programs, as well as speaking at national and state conventions. And we always know that her heart is, of course, to, again, bring education to you. She's an advocate for the federal employees, and books are available. When we've talked about in the past about the free ebook, the TSP Millionaire, but also there are other books that are available. When you go on the website, you can find out more and contact them for more. The Five Dangers of Federal Retirement is another book that's available, and we love to get this information in your hands. That's why we do things like this. This is for you. And again, thank you for joining us. We love to hear from you. And any questions that you have, if you have other thoughts or things that you want to hear us talk about on podcasts, please let us know. Email and then call, and anything that you have that's important to you, it's important to us. So again, as a reminder, this podcast is about reminding you that your dreams really can come true.
Thank you for joining us today. At Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators, we want to help you develop, implement, and monitor a strategy that's designed to address your individual situation. Call us at 833-693-3388 or on the web at febcnow.com.